pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack. And if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through seer training, which stands for survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions they may encounter in the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you'll commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to have and maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie, pray us in.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us another chance just to represent you in the kingdom. Lord, I just pray right now that whatever we say tonight, the Holy Spirit will cause to permeate one's heart and mind and spirit, Lord God. I pray that couples that are watching this are growing, or couples that may need a little help, they'll be able to get something from this this discussion today. And God, we give it all back unto you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, family. We're at the beginning of a brand new year. And this is usually the season where everybody starts talking about new goals, new blessings, new starts.
You know, that's true. But what most couples don't talk about is whether they're carrying old patterns into a new year.
And that's dangerous, because you can step into a new year with the same habits and wonder why nothing's changed.
Exactly. Most marriages don't break down overnight. They break down slowly through patterns that were never confronted.
The Bible calls those little foxes. You know, the scripture says, catch the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vineyards.
Little foxes, small things, repeated things, unchecked things.
And tonight, our goal is not to shame anybody.
Mm-mm.
This isn't to point fingers.
Mm-mm. This is about giving couples a check engine light so you can deal with the issues before you're broken down on the side of the road.
Yeah. So this evening, we want to talk about how to check the engine before you break down. Dealing with destructive patterns that can ruin marriages.
You see, in marriage ministry, there's a well-known framework called the Four Horsemen, developed by Dr. John Gottman, themed after the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
And just like the Four Horsemen are the precursors of the apocalypse, these horsemen are the red flags before destruction. Mm. They're the indicators of an impending relational breakdown. They show up before the marriage collapses. Mm. Watch this. The four horsemen don't cause the apocalypse. They just simply announce it. And this is why we teach this. Because these four communication patterns can predict the failure of a marriage with over 90% accuracy if they're left unchecked.
But you see, what's powerful is this. The Bible has already been warning us about these same behaviors for thousands of years.
So tonight, we're going to identify them. And more importantly, we're going to talk about the biblical solutions. And that first horseman we're going to deal with is the horseman of criticism.
Mm-hmm. You know, criticism, y'all, is not about addressing a problem. It's about attacking a person.
Wow. You know, because most people think, you know, when they're being critical, they think that they're just pointing a finger at a problem. It doesn't say something went wrong. It says something is wrong with you. Mm.
And you'll hear it in words like always, like you always do this and never, you never think about me. You're always selfish. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, it says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts.
See, words can stab or they can heal. Mm-hmm.
So what's the solution? It's what Gottman tells or calls us a gentle startup and what the Bible calls speaking truth in love. In Ephesians 4:15, one of the healthy examples would be, I'm feeling overwhelmed and I was really counting on that milk for dinner. I hate milk, but anyway, milk for dinner. Could you help me?
You know, it's the same issue, but it's a completely different spirit. Mm-hmm. See, you know, in one regard, you know, you just throwing something at somebody. In another, you're calling it and letting them know mm-hmm. that this is an issue that I need help with. Mm-hmm. And it's totally different how you handle something.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, oh, I'm sorry, babe.
No, go it's ahead. Fine. Go ahead.
No, you go. What were you going to say?
No.
All right. Well,
did you have a point before I moved on?
No,
I
was sir. No, move sir. On. Move on. Scoot, okay. Scoot, scoot. I'm sorry. I got confused.
But, you know, the second horseman is contempt.
Now, this one is most destructive of all. Contempt. Boy, I don't even like the way that sounds. Contempt.
Contempt is communication from a place of superiority. Ooh.
Mm. It sounds like sarcasm, eye rolling, name calling, mockery. Wow. For example, oh, you're tired? Must be nice while I do everything. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah. And so you got to be careful about that contemptible tongue. Mm-hmm. Contempt kills respect.
Wow. Say that again.
Yes. Contempt kills respect.
Yeah.
And once respect leaves, intimacy follows right behind it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen this over and over and over again in counseling. Couples don't fall out of love. They fall out of honor.
We need to pause wow. right there. Mm-hmm. We need as they say, we need to pull up the handbrake. We need to park right there for a moment. You've got to understand how important honor is in your marriage. Because when you stop honoring one another, that's when intimacy dies. Because when you no longer honor your spouse, That word honor means to make weighty. Mm-hmm. When you no longer give weight or value to who they are, to the person, to the gift that God gave you, you start taking them for granted. You start treating them like they are no longer precious. Mm-hmm. Then now intimacy goes out the window.
Yep.
I need you to understand this. See, because that's the reason why it wasn't infatuation. See, it started as infatuation when you first met them, when you thought they were so cute, you thought he was so handsome, and all of these kinds of things. Y'all start making Google eyes at each other. But if you have a real relationship that's founded upon anything, it's because God gave you the revelation of the gift that he was sharing with you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep.
And then you started to honor one another that way.
Yep.
Watch this. I share this with people all the time, because when people start telling me, you know, when I start trying to share with minister to people about relationships, and I start trying to share with husbands about, you know, situations, and they're frustrated about their situation with their wife, and, you know, and I'm trying to talk to them, and I'm ministering to them from my own personal experience, and they're like, well, you know, you don't understand. My marriage ain't like yours. You know, I don't feel about my wife the way you feel like my past Stephanie. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Because, see, feelings are not something that you just have. They're not something you just develop. The reason why I feel the way I feel about my wife, it didn't just come about. Mm-hmm. This is not something that you just, when people say I fell out of love, you didn't fall in love. You don't walk and trip. Love is not a place on the floor that you fell into when you tripped, you stumbled and you fell. Oh, I fell into a pile of love. That didn't happen. It's not an accident. Mm. Love is a product. It's a harvest. Watch this. It's a harvest of something that you sow. Love is a harvest of the seed of honor. Watch this. Now, if you've ever seen somebody, and I use this illustration a lot with cars, so stay with me, ladies, with guys, because they understand the concept a lot better a lot of times, and I'm not being sexist, but a lot of times guys just relate to this example better. But if you've ever seen somebody driving a classic car, fellas, you know, a 1971, you know, SS Nova, fully restored, candy apple red, you know, is coming down the road. You hear that, I mean, talking nice, you know, Rally Sport 67, Camaro, racing stripes, come on, bright orange, black stripes down the middle, come on, talk to me. I mean, you see that thing and you like, and you walk up to it, and I mean, it's glistening. It's got the mag wheels on it, and I'm talking the wide fat tires in the back, and you looking at it, and you see the guy with it, and you walk over to it, you're like, man, how much you want for that thing? No, I can't sell it. That's my baby. He even talks about it different. He personalizes it. Mm-hmm. He talks about it as if it's a person. And when he talks about it, and then you start to talk to him about it, where you get it from? Oh, man, when I found that thing, man, it was in the back. Man, I found it in the field behind this farm, man, down the road. This old lady, man, she had it. Say her husband had it years, and he had bought it, and he was going to restore it, and he ain't never doing it, man. It was rusted out, and he starts telling you the story behind it, that he had bought it, and when he bought it, it was rusted out, and it was in parts, and he had to go, and he bought it, and he bought it home, and how he found all of the pieces on the internet, and how he drove out to Missouri and bought this part and that part, and he put this thing together, and how he spent time and hours pouring into that thing. See, because when he first got it, he didn't feel like he felt about it. Oh, you better hear what I'm saying. See, it's because he invested the time, the attention, the energy. It's because of what he poured into it, because he honored it. He put weight into it. He put energy into it. He put effort into it. And it's because of what he poured into it, because he put it in a position where it took time. He gave it priority. He gave it weight. He honored it. And because he sowed that honor, Now he reaped this affection for it, this love for it, this feeling for it. So now he has this feeling for it that he reaped as a harvest for the effort, for that honor, for that weight that he put in it. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. Now, watch this. He gives that thing to his son. And he gives it to him. And his son is feels so special because, oh, my dad gave that to me. You know, and so now he has the same honor because of the relationship he has with his father. And he knows how much it meant to his father. Mm-hmm. So now he has that same sense of honor. But he didn't put that same thing into it, right? But he starts off honoring it. He starts off washing it and doing that. But then after a while, he just gets excited because his friends talk about how nice it is. And so he starts riding his friends around in it, and they start leaving trash in it. Mm. Soda cans. Candy wrappers. Somebody spills something in the floor. He didn't get it up. After a while, he starts to dishonor it.
Yeah.
He starts treating it different. He starts parking it outside instead of putting it in the garage. Doesn't put the cover on it. And so now after a while, it gets dirty. Oh, I'll wash it next week. So now he doesn't honor it the same. So after a while, he starts to disrespect it. He starts to, see, watch this. He starts to treat it with contempt. And see, contempt kills respect.
Yep, it sure does.
And so after a while, he no longer has that intimate connection to it because now it becomes a contemptible thing.
Yep.
It's no longer, he no longer has that same feeling about it because now it's just something common.
Wow, yep.
And it's the same thing that happens in our marriages because we've no longer put that same energy into it. Because like I told you, when you first met her, see, you used to date all the time. See, you had to wait and, you know, because you couldn't call her anytime. You had to respect the hours. You had to go over and see her with her parents. You had to go and, you know, you had to go through all of these steps and all these things. And so you put that time, that energy, you spent money to take her out and all these kinds of things. And so now, after a while, you start treating it contemptible. Mm. You start disrespecting it. Mm-hmm. So now after a while, there's no intimacy left.
Right. Right.
See, because like I told you, when you fall out of honor, falling out of love follows.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So, you know, what's the solution? You have to build a culture of appreciation, plain and simple. The word thank you, okay?
See, when gratitude becomes your default, disrespect cannot survive. See, we got to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to understand that. It's important for us to get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us to recognize how important that is.
Mm-hmm. Looking, give me a look up the scripture. Just give me a minute.
And that's the thing. Gratitude is a huge part of everything that we do. The Bible tells us be thankful in all things. So we've got to recognize that that needs to be our default setting.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be thankful. To be thankful. And that's why it's so important for us.
Yep.
It's so important.
I'm laughing. My fingers are getting twisted up. Pastor Tuck is faster, y'all, when it comes to looking up stuff on the phone compared to me.
That's why, that's why he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to understand that that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That should be our default setting.
Yeah. And even when we were going through some trying times, you know, and y'all know about our experience our family had in 2024, you know, because we already had a culture of appreciation for each other, the situation didn't break us.
Exactly.
The circumstance didn't break us. because we recognize how much we loved one another, what we wouldn't do for one another. And that culture of appreciation and thankfulness caused a environment of, you know, peace, even when it was hard, you know, an environment of patience when we were impatient, you know, but we weren't at each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, that third horseman is defensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to work on that. You know, defensiveness says, like, it's not my fault. And it's easy to go, but it's your fault. You know, for example, I forgot the milk because you didn't remind me. You know, quick to place the blame on someone else. So Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. You got to deal with it. You got to check yourself.
See, marriage is not a courtroom.
Mm-mm.
Nobody wins when everybody's defending themselves.
Right. And the solution here is simple, but not easy. We must what? Take responsibility.
Yes. You got to take accountability for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Got to.
You know, the Bible tells us in James, it encourages believers to confess their sins and pray for one another to find healing.
Right. Don't hold them against each other. You know, pray for each other.
It should be, you're right. I forgot. Yeah. I should have handled that better.
Mm-hmm.
See, even owning a small part can completely change the temperature of the conversation.
And you can't, you know, become the martyr in this. You can't go, you know, you're right. I forgot. I'm such a horrible wife. I'm such a horrible husband. Yeah, I always do everything. And this is how, you know,
everything's, see what I'm saying? My fault. It's always my fault. Me. No, that's
yeah.
That's, and that's sarcasm. That's counterproductive.
Mm-hmm, big time.
Yep. It's different from taking accountability. And like she said, trying to be a false martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're upset because somebody called you out.
Mm.
Take accountability. If you take accountability for your own shortcomings, nobody ever has to call you out.
That's right. Man, it's okay. We ain't perfect.
And this is the thing, fellas, because this is something we're good at. We're good at deflecting blame. We're good at trying to, as some people call it today, gaslighting.
Yep.
We're good at trying to make somebody else think they're crazy. Oh no, see that's the reason, because we're good at that. But we've got to stop trying to make somebody else think that it was their fault and just simply man up and take accountability.
Yep.
See, even in the garden, Adam failed his responsibility.
He sure did.
God gave him instructions, simple instructions. And as the head of the house, his responsibility was to impart those instructions to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell from the conversation that Eve had with the serpent that Adam failed in that responsibility. God told him, do not eat from this tree, lest you die.
Mm.
When Eve gave it to the serpent,
excuse me.
She says, oh, God told us don't eat this tree or don't touch it. Where did touch it come from? I always tell people, that sounds just like a man. See that tree over there? Matter of fact, don't even touch it. Mm-hmm. We go mansplaining. We go trying to add something to it. And God said, don't add nothing to my word. Just give her what I said.
Mm. Wow.
So he failed in his responsibility. Because if he had simply told her what God said, she would have simply repeated that. But you could tell she gave him what she was given.
Mm.
And because he failed, she was uncovered.
Mm. Wow. Yep.
So now when she falls, she comes to him and now tempts him. And then he falls again, fails again in his responsibility, because at that point he had the opportunity to correct her. Mm. But instead he joins her in the fall.
Yeah.
And then when God comes and corrects them both, he first hides instead of taking accountability and taking responsibility for his fall. He hides. And then when God calls him out and questions him about what is done, he tries to hide behind her and says, "This woman you gave me." He tries to blame not only her, but he tries to blame God.
She probably standing there like, what?
It ain't my fault. It's her fault. And matter of fact, it's your fault for giving her to me.
Mm. The nerve.
And we have been doing that ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stop.
Yeah.
We've got to learn to take accountability.
Yep.
Instead of, well, yeah, the reason why I was yelling because you made me upset. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have raised my voice.
The reason why I was slamming stuff is because you got on my nerves and made me upset. Women, we good at slamming stuff. You know that, right?
Take accountability.
Mm-hmm.
It'll change the entire temperature of the conversation.
Yep.
Horseman number 4. Stonewalling.
Wow. Man, just the sound of it. Sound like, you know, a car running into a brick wall, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the last horseman. And it's, again, Pastor said, it's stonewalling. And as I just mentioned, since we're talking about check engine lights and vehicles, literally it's almost like a vehicle running head on into a wall, head on into a brick wall, if that, you know. So
that's when one spouse shuts down emotionally or physically.
Mm. You know, that's when the silent treatment comes. All right, ladies, shutting down, silent treatment. And, you know, it's not all ladies either. It's fellas, too.
Yeah.
Walking away. Like, sometimes if I'm angry or upset with him, if he says something that gets me, I'll either try to, like, just cut him off. And I don't say, like, hush. You know, I might throw up my hand like, uh-uh. That's basically walking away for me. And that's not right, you know. Or even burying yourself in your phone, like totally just screening, swiping, swipe, swipe. And they're trying to carry on a full conversation with you.
Or burying yourself in your job, yep. In your work. Ooh,
yes. Avoidance.
Yes. Yeah. Any type of avoided behavior.
Yep.
Well, see, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree?
Yeah.
See, stonewalling isn't peace. It's avoidance. You know, I had to get out of there. I had to get. No. You can't avoid the situation.
You know, I just started thinking when you said, how can two walk together if, you know, they don't agree? And I was thinking about like the one-legged races at festivals, you know, mm-hmm. You have to agree because the leg is tied together. Mm-hmm. So if you don't agree, one person can fall and jerk the other person down, or they both can fall together. You know, it's a strain.
And that's the whole point. If the two have become one flesh, then how can we not be on one accord?
That's right.
And that's what we have to recognize.
But here's what we need to clarify. Not every pause is wrong.
Yeah, we're not saying that it's wrong. The solution is physiological self-soothing. What do you mean that by that? It means it's okay to take a pause. Mm-hmm. It means it's okay to gather yourself. It's okay to get your thoughts together, to get yourself together so that you don't say something wrong. You know, the Bible tells us that a fool gives full vent to his wrath. Mm. You know, that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a knowledgeable person restrains their words, while someone with a calm, cool spirit shows understanding.
Yeah.
So you have to understand it's important to get yourself together before you say something crazy. Because like I said, only a fool gives full vent to his wrath. So that's why you want to take time to get yourself together.
So, you know, that if that means, you know, taking a break, at least 20 minutes to calm down, pray, and breathe. Not to calm down and ruminate and just get yourself angry, right? Again, it just keeps going. Calm down.
And then you come back to the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. The problem is, see, we want to avoid things. Like you said, we want to go off somewhere and soak or go back and just, like you said, go over it and over it and over it again until we get more and more worked up and more frustrated. We don't go to try to pray and calm and get ourselves together so we can come back and have a rational conversation. We go away because we're frustrated, and we go and allow the enemy to frustrate us even more. We make matters worse. We go to avoid our spouses so that we can go away and the enemy can cause more division. If you're going to do this in a healthy manner.
Yes. Yep.
See, a pause is healthy. Abandonment is not.
Ooh. Mm. And you can abandon, you know, your spouse by becoming roommates.
Yes. You can be walking around in the same house, not talking to each other for weeks.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Nope.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole time you're allowing the enemy to chip away at your relationship.
Sure enough.
Chip away at your marriage.
All right. So we're going to switch gears. We're going to go into the SEER training homework. Engine check. Okay. So, you know, we got to make it practical so that you all can apply these skills.
Now, here's your assignment for the week. Each spouse identifies which horseman they use most. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then practice the solution intentionally.
Yeah. Share one specific appreciation daily. Just one. And schedule a weekly emotional and spiritual check-in, because all of it ties together. You know, emotional, spiritual, physical, you know, it all plays off in each other. So by checking in, that lets you troubleshoot. You know, okay, if I don't change the oil soon, my engine's going to lock up. You know, if I don't put any fuel cleaner in my tank, my car's going to sputter. So.
Yeah. The Bible tells us in Lamentations 3:4, it says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord.
Mm.
See, it encourages us to self-examination and repentance.
Yeah.
So we got to spend time in that reflection.
Mm-hmm.
We got to spend time doing that. So we want to give you some questions that you can use during these check-ins.
Mm-hmm. So, like, which horseman shows up most in our marriage? And it could be different horsemen, you know?
Yeah.
Where do we learn these communication patterns? Whew. I know I learned a lot from my mom, and then I learned some from my dad, and I got the ones that never worked, okay? So, you know, you got to figure out, how did I learn these patterns?
And how does our spiritual life affect how we communicate?
Because if you think about it, if you're not in the word, and you know, you, and the word says, you know, be angry and sin not, you know, be slow to slow to speak. You know, if you didn't get into that, I mean, it really will affect how you communicate, right? So then you got to ask, what would appreciation look like daily in our home?
Yeah. Because it may look different to each of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that each of you understand what that looks like to one another so that it actually is effective.
Yeah.
Because if you don't feel appreciated, you may be trying to show appreciation, but if the other person doesn't feel appreciated, mm-hmm. then the enemy can make you can make that a point of contention.
And then what one change can we commit to this week? Just one.
See, the goal isn't a perfect marriage.
Mm. It's a healthy one.
And when couples are willing to check the engine,
God is faithful to prevent the breakdown. Yeah.
See, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain.
Mm.
Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain. See, no matter what you're doing, if God is not involved in it, it's going to be fruitless.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Nope.
And that's why we've got to involve him in every aspect of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to recognize that, like I said, these are some telltale signs that we're missing something.
Sure.
We're just trying to give you some tools that you can catch. Right. That we're starting to slip off course.
Mm. It's important to catch, right? You know, if our girls have something going wrong with their car, they're able to, you know, tell him. But after he figures out what's going on, he's able to catch it now and tell them, you know, what needs to be done. And this information that we're sharing with y'all is not just for newlyweds.
No.
You know?
No, this is the kind of stuff that slowly creeps in.
Yep.
No matter how long you've been married.
How long, yep.
You start developing a critical spirit. Like I told you, it starts to become something where you don't recognize it, but you're attacking one another.
I'm sorry.
You start dealing with each other with contempt.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, you're talking down to each other.
I'm shaking my head because I'm thinking about my parents.
Yes.
You know, as much as we love them, man, sometimes it was like watching a tennis match.
Yes.
You know, who could, you know, belittle the one the most? Who was critical? Who was sarcastic? I mean, yes. It was just ongoing, wasn't it?
Yes. Then you start watching, then you start becoming defensive.
Yes.
No matter what happens, it's not your fault. It's like, it's crazy.
Yep. And it can cause people to be misunderstood, misinterpreted.
Absolutely. You know. No matter what you do.
Yep.
Next thing you know, you see the stonewalling.
Mm.
And that somebody has shut down.
Mm-mm.
And so you have to be careful because, like I said, these things, they don't cause the apocalypse.
Right.
But they're definite indicators that let you know that the apocalypse is coming.
And, you know, to be honest, y'all, we have to be thankful for every moment, every day, because anything could happen. You know, if something happened to him, I would be completely devastated. But I don't want to have to walk around with any kind of regrets that I didn't do the best I could in our marriage. You know, so Pastor Tuck and I, we're so passionate about marriage. And these are things that can be easily fixed if you make the decision to do so.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That is a big deal.
Huge.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get ready to pray our way out. But we pray that this has blessed you and that it's helped you to recognize that there's some things that we got to be on guard for.
Yeah.
And that we don't want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
what's happening.
Because we can miss it.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Precious God, Lord, we thank you today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all you continue to do. Lord, we ask you now, Lord, that you would continue, Father God, to strengthen us and strengthen our marriage. Father God, Lord, make us vigilant, Lord, that we won't miss the warning signs, Lord, that we would be proactive to adjust, make the adjustments, Father God, Lord, that we would take corrective actions, Father God, Lord, because we know, Lord, that marriage is a gift, Lord, that you've given us all. And, Lord, you desire all of us to have a healthy, strong, and, Father God, productive marriage, Father God, that represents, Lord, your relationship with the church. And, Father God, Lord, that we will be witnesses into the world, Father God, of your love for us. And, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and you continue to do in us and through us. And, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this ministry. Father God, continue to bless us and keep us and carry us forth in you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you've been blessed by this ministry or Father God, any of our ministries here on My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can do so by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or you can visit our website at lovemychurch.org and click the donate button. So that sow a financial seed. We have all kinds of faith-based programming here on the My Church Virtual Ministries.
Yeah.
We have the Leadership Academy. We've got Women of Worth, the Man Cave, Marriage Seer Training, Heart of the Pastor. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got all kinds of ministries here on Sunday mornings. We've got Reveal TV with Kendall and Kiara McDowell, which is our brand new ministry. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yvita Cash. We've even got comedy series on My Church Laughs. We've got all kinds of things to help you as a well-rounded believer. And our job is to just make sure you have the tools to walk out the life of faith that God desires you to be. And so, if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, sow a financial seed. But God bless you. We love you.
We love you.
And make sure you share this with somebody you know who needs it, because you know somebody who needs it.
Sure enough.
God bless you. We love you. Stay tuned for our announcements and come back and see us again on next time. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Pastor Stephanie. God bless you and see you again soon.
Yep.
Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
The scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.